Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston, in-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training that is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is harvestimeinstitute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And we're on program number 2 in our series on the kingdom of God. And last week we sort of wandered around just looking at some ideas about what the kingdom of God was and how it operates and how it's so dynamic and how we're part of this eternal community led by God and his son Jesus Christ. And today we'll look at 3 topics: entering into the kingdom of God, the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God, and how Jesus rules the kingdom of God. So we'll be looking at that, and it's an exciting topic. We'll be learning about that great spiritual kingdom to which we belong when we got born again, when we came into the kingdom of God, while we were washed by the blood of the Lamb and came before the throne. We are now part of God's great eternal kingdom. And before we look at that, let's pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Instruct us, teach us, admonish us from your word. Show us the light and the truth about your dynamic kingdom and how it is working all throughout the world at this time of great stress, of wars and rumors of wars, of COVID-19, of all the struggles of life. Show us that you are in our midst. Show us that Jesus Christ is the regent. He is the ruler. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Make your will clear to us today and help us to be strengthened in the inner man through the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so first of all, we're going to have a little bit of a look at entering into the kingdom of God. But before we do that, we want to figure out what do we enter into. When you enter into the kingdom of God, you walk through this big golden door and a big church somewhere like Saddleback Church or some magnificent church with organs and big stairs and diamonds or whatever. Is that how we enter into the kingdom of God? Can we go to some place in Jerusalem, Rome, America, Australia and enter into the kingdom of God by going to a great big building with a great big pastor? And the answer is no, we do not. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom where there are angels, where there is a throne, where there is the heavenly Zion, where all the angels are in festal array, where there is the glassy sea. We enter into the kingdom of God by faith, by being born again. It is not a physical place here, anywhere on our planet Earth. And it is said, flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God by walking somewhere in your own physical body through this door. Flesh and blood don't inherit it. It's a spiritual kingdom. It says, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. So the kingdom is not of this world. You can't go out and fight for it. Let's have a look at John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight so that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So Jesus is saying his kingdom wasn't from there. It wasn't from Jerusalem. It wasn't from Pilate's palace. He was a king, but he's a king in a spiritual realm. He's a king in that realm that is beyond this physical realm upon which all of creation depends, because Jesus holds all of creation together by the word of his power. We find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So the kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom that will overcome all the kingdoms of this world and create a new heavens and a new earth. So we enter into the kingdom of God by being born again. Okay, we know that in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 3, truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then down in verse 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it involves being born again. You enter the kingdom of God by being born again, by becoming a new creature, by becoming a new creation, by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting faith in a politician will not get you into the kingdom of God. Putting faith in some magician will not get you into the kingdom of God. There is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved, and women as well, of course, and children and everybody. There's only one name under heaven. It says that in Acts. It says that there's only one name under heaven, the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name. That is the name that deals with demons. That's the name we can put faith in, and he will deliver us from all the witchcraft, all the juju, all the nasty stuff of this world, and we'll be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So the kingdom is the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And so Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And when we put faith in him, then we're born again. When we repent and we say, okay, I'm not having anything more to do with that junk. I'm not having anything more to do with sexual immorality or thieving or lying or being angry at people and having outbursts and fighting and all the rest. When we say you're going to leave aside all the junk lifestyle and that you're going to turn to a godly lifestyle and seek after God, seek after deeper things in your life, then you read the Bible and you find out about Jesus and you believe in Jesus. That's when you enter into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not a church. It's not a denomination. You can't say that this denomination over here or that church over there has exclusive control over the kingdom of God. There's only one person who controls the kingdom of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have faith in him, if you are saved, if you've been born again, if you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart and the righteousness, peace, and joy that belong in the kingdom of God, then you have entered into the kingdom of God. Now, people sometimes don't enter into the kingdom of God. Why is that? A lot of people don't enter in because they don't want to change. They don't want to repent. They don't want to live a holy life. They think, oh my goodness, I'm happy the way I am. They think, I'm okay in my village, I'm okay in my city, I've got this, I've got that, I'm doing okay. And besides, they think they're good people. They think, oh, I haven't done anything wrong, I don't need to repent. And so they avoid repentance and they're proud, just like the Pharisees were in the New Testament. So some people don't enter into the kingdom of God because they're proud. Other people don't enter into the kingdom because they have too many possessions. But this was the case of the rich young ruler. And Jesus said to him, you know, just sell your possessions, give to the poor and come follow me. And the rich young ruler wanted to inherit eternal life. He'd done all things right. He'd obeyed all his commandments. But the idea of having to give up all his possessions, the idea of having to move away from his social status, that's what broke him and he walked away. Now, you don't have to give up all your possessions when you come to Jesus, but you do have to move out of your pride, out of your social status. You need to just come and be simple and follow Jesus. So a lot of people are held up on their material status, their social status. They don't want to associate with the Christians. They don't want to associate with people who go to church. And that keeps them from the kingdom of God. Another thing that keeps people from entering the kingdom of God is their own sin. They like being in a certain sin, whether it's sexual immorality or drugs or violence or belonging to a gang or whatever they have as a sin that they're holding onto. They say, no, I like this sin. I am not going to become a Christian. And that's tragedy. People need to repent. If you're like that, know that your sin is just going to send you to hell. And hell is a terrible place. And Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. If you've got some sin that is holding you back, it's better to go into heaven, better to go into the kingdom with one eye and one hand than to burn in hell with your entire body. In other words, do something drastic. Get rid of that sin before that sin takes you down the drain into hell. Particularly if you're a drunk, if you're addicted to something, if you're listening to this broadcast, decide to get rid of the alcohol or the drugs or the stuff that you are getting involved in. If you're involved in witchcraft, if you're involved in juju, put that to one side immediately and say, no, I am not being involved in that again. I'm not getting involved in that sin. I am putting it aside. I am following righteousness and truth and enter into the kingdom of God right now. Go and read your Bible. Follow Jesus. Follow the commandments of Jesus Christ. And you will know righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a great eternal reward when Jesus returns. And you will go to heaven and not to hell. Do not hold on to that sin. Your sin will drag you down into the pit of hell. Do not do that. Be determined to enter into the kingdom of God. Be determined to believe and get rid of every last trace of sin in your life. Repent and hold on to the kingdom of God. Hold on to the name of Jesus, who forgives your sins and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you enter into the kingdom of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You enter into the kingdom of God by being born again, by repenting and having faith in Jesus. So turn away from your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and enter into the kingdom of God right now. Do not delay. Do not put it off. Bow down right where you are and say, "Dear Lord, I have sinned. I have messed up my life. I repent of my sin. I don't want it anymore in my life. I want to be a new creation right now in Jesus' name. I want to be new. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to enter into the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus Christ, please take over my life right now. I commit myself to Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart and my life. And I want to be forgiven by God. Lord, make me into a Christian." And pray that right now. Pray that God saves your soul. Pray that God's salvation comes to you and to your entire household. And do not delay. Cry out to God and say, "Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, make me a Christian." In Jesus' name, amen. Just keep crying out to God as this broadcast goes on. And pick up your Bible and read the New Testament and be saved from your sins. Believe in Jesus. Put aside all that unrighteous junk in your life and decide that you're going to live a clean and holy life before heaven. And you will be saved. You will be born again and you will have entrance into eternal life. So that's the first bit of what we're covering today, is entering into the kingdom of God. The second bit that we want to cover today is the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. Let's look at a whole bunch of verses here. We looked at some of them earlier. We'll go over them in a little bit more detail now. If you've got your Bibles open, go to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Behold there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." See, the kingdom of God's always there because God's present everywhere. The kingdom of God can be present anywhere. It's not just present in a particular building. So the kingdom of God is in the midst. The kingdom of God is within us. We just have to reach out and touch it. Jesus would say the kingdom of God is at hand. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual world that's right next to the physical world. It's there. We can hardly perceive it. But when we look at the stars at night, when we go to a holy place, when we're in church worshiping, we sense that the kingdom of God is around us, surround us in the spiritual dimension. And we just have to reach out and take hold of the kingdom of God by faith. It's not something you observe. You can't go out and look at a building and say, "That is the kingdom of God." You can't go out and measure it with a tape measure. You can't put it under a microscope. But it's there in the spiritual dimension around you at all times. And you just need to reach out to that spiritual dimension where God is and take hold of the things of God by faith. Take hold of the grace of God into your life by faith. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you can't see the kingdom of God with your physical eyes. You can only see it if you're born again and then you sense it in the spiritual realm. You know it's there. John 3 verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So not only can't you see it, but you can't enter into it unless you're born of water and the Spirit, unless you're a believer, unless you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God because it's a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. You can't walk through a doorway somewhere and become part of the kingdom of God. No, you've got to believe. That's the only way to enter into the kingdom of God. John 18 and 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight so that I might not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Occasionally, a political leader Well, come along and try and con Christians and say, my cause is the kingdom of God. Over here, if you're a Christian, you've got to vote for me to be president or prime minister or whatever. And that political leader gets all the pastors on side, flatters the pastors, flatters the Christian leaders. And they all say, oh, yes, you know, President so-and-so, he's the right president for us. Well, that is not the way the kingdom of God works. It's not here. It's not of this world. It's not of a particular political party. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is a holy place, and it's only run by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus you have to follow, not any political leader. It doesn't belong to a particular nation, a particular leader, a particular political party. Don't let people fool you, and don't let politics take over your life. It is important to vote. It is important to know right from wrong. It is important to get involved in politics in a way that's constructive. But don't get involved in politics in a way that's destructive, that takes you and makes you into a person who's full of rage, full of anxiety. And you don't get obsessed over politics. Don't get into a fight over politics. Don't let it destroy your family. The kingdom of God is way more important than any politician, any president, any political candidate, or any political party. So the kingdom of God is not of this world, and you don't have to fight for it with physical weapons, with guns or machetes or anything else. The apostles didn't fight. They knew God was in charge. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God isn't some place we go to have a big party and eat and drink and carry on and tell jokes. The kingdom of God certainly has righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, but it's not some gigantic festival that we go to. It's not about the issues of eating and drinking. And in this context, Paul was saying, don't have arguments over food, because the one group of the Romans was saying, no, you can't eat meat, you can't eat pork, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. And the other group was saying, yes, we can eat pork, we can eat this, we can eat that. Jesus made everything clean. And Paul basically said to them, stop squabbling over this stuff. That's not what's important. The kingdom of God isn't about these trivial things. Eat what you feel okay with. To one person, it might be eating pork is okay. The other person, it might not be okay. But to him who has faith, it's clean. If it's not a faith for you, then it's unclean. Don't do it. Don't do anything that defiles your conscience. And so Paul was very firm about this. And so he said, the kingdom of God is not about these trivial issues. It's not about eating and drinking or whether you wear this color clothes or that color clothes or whether you have to wear white shirts to church or colored shirts are okay or the deacons should be dressed like this or that or the other. So the deacons, what they wear, what the elders wear, what the pastors wear, what the choir wears, that is trivial. You don't have to worry about choir robes and food and what this is or what that is. Those smaller issues are up to the individual, up to the church concerned, and just let them be. The kingdom of God is about being peaceful, being in community, about loving your neighbor as yourself, about loving your brothers and sisters in Christ as yourself, about forgiving them and having patience with them. And it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So don't let small things take over your Christian life. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 15:50, and I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So it's saying the kingdom is spiritual. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't sort of walk through or join an army, or this body does not inherit the kingdom of God. This body, unfortunately, has been contaminated by sin. This body has to die and will be resurrected. So the flesh and blood that we have at the moment is going to be resurrected, and we will inherit the kingdom of God in a glorious spiritual body after the resurrection. And we inherit the kingdom of God now in a spiritual way with the Holy Spirit coming inside of us. So the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not some material thing. It's not made out of money. The things of the kingdom of God are free. You can't buy love. You can't buy truth. You can't go out and buy a miracle from some pseudo prophet, some fake prophet. You cannot buy things in the kingdom of God with money. When Moses took the people out of Egypt, he didn't need any money. He just had his staff and he parted the Red Sea and did these miracles and called down these plagues without any money. Right? When Elijah called down the fire from heaven on the top of Mount Carmel there, and he called down the fire from heaven, it was done without any money. When Jesus healed lepers, the lepers didn't have to pay him anything to get healed. He just healed them straight away. And the 10 lepers who were very poor and broken people, they were healed. The blind man cried out and had faith in Jesus. They were healed. The demon-possessed man, Jesus comes up to him, casts all the demons out of Legion for free. Jesus never charged a fee for a miracle because the kingdom of God is free. It is free from commercial exploitation. And God doesn't charge anything for salvation. Salvation is free. Come to the waters, come to Jesus. He will give you eternal life for free because you don't buy your way into the kingdom of heaven at all. It is free. It is to all of those who have faith, small and great, rich and poor. We all have to bow our knee, repent of our sins, and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So don't listen to corrupt people who say that they'll give you this mighty blessing if you drop, you know, $100 in the offering plate or something like that. Don't be fooled by them at all. It's a free kingdom, and flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a material kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Okay, let's go to part three of what we're doing in today's broadcast. The kingdom of God is ruled by Jesus, who is co-regent with the Father. So the Father and the Son rule over the kingdom of God together. God's delegated the kingdom authority to his Son, but God's subduing all the enemies until they can be placed under the feet of Jesus Christ, who will rule the kingdom forever and ever. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20, when it talks about the absolute rulership of Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn from the dead in the image of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, ruled by devils and magic and juju and Satan, and he has translated us, he's moved us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the kingdom is the kingdom of the Son. It's ruled by Jesus Christ. So what happens when we get into the kingdom of the Son? Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is, and he, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For all things were created in him, the things in heavens and the things on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he may be preeminent in all things. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. And through him, that's through Jesus, having made peace through the blood of his cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. So Jesus reconciled the whole universe to himself through the cross. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. We're part of his kingdom, and Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is preeminent in all things. And all the fullness of God dwells in Jesus, so Jesus is God. Everything was created in him and for him, and by him all things consist. So the kingdom of God has a king, and the king is Jesus, and the Father has appointed to put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some other verses. Luke 22, verse 29, and I appoint a kingdom to you as my Father has appointed to me. So the Father has appointed the kingdom to Jesus, and Jesus is going to appoint a kingdom to us, to the apostles. We're going to have rule and reign. We're going to have authority in the kingdom of God. Luke 22, verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's talking about the apostles, that they will have a throne. They will have authority in the kingdom to come. Luke 23, 42, and he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's the thief on the cross. So he wanted to be remembered because he knew that Jesus was a king coming into a kingdom, even though he was on the cross. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. For you know this, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So if you're a greedy person, if you're a covetous person, if you're an idolater of some sort, then your inheritance is wiped out in the kingdom of God. That's one reason to get rid of your sin. 2 Timothy 4:1. Therefore I solemnly witness before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead according to his appearance and his kingdom. So Jesus is the one to whom all judgment has been given, and he is going to judge the living and the dead according to his appearance and his kingdom when he returns. So Jesus is the king in the kingdom. Hebrews 1 verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So Jesus has a scepter of righteousness. He has a throne in the heavenly realms. The sheep and the goats are judged before him on the final judgment day. And he has all powers of judgment. 2 Peter 1:11. So an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the everlasting kingdom belongs to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we put on the spiritual qualities that are listed there in 2 Peter 1, we will find an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God when we put on faith and love and brotherly love and all those virtues mentioned there. And finally, two verses from Revelation, Revelation 1:9. I, John, who am your brother and companion in the affliction and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. The kingdom isn't here yet. It's his kingdom. We're waiting patiently for its manifestation in the last days. And Revelation 12:10. And I heard a great voice saying in heaven, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. So Satan will be cast down. Jesus will take his authority. The kingdom of God will reign and rule through Jesus Christ. And God shall be blessed forever and ever. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. Wait for more on the kingdom of God next week.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. That is johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.